Meltdown presents The Disney Click with Rick and Briars. This podcast is sponsored by Meltdown Comics and Collectibles in Hollywood, California. Find Meltdown on meltcomics.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the Disney Click. I'm Rick with my deliriously happy co-host Briars. How you doing, Briars?
I'm good. I guess I'm deliriously happy.
I think so. Is that
it's December?
Yeah, yay December.
Yeah.
Happy holidays,
Thank
everybody.
You. Oh, you were just saying that to
me. Oh, happy holidays, Briars.
But happy holidays to all the listeners.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We have a good show today.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days I'll say we have a bad show, but I think this is a good one. Our top five Disney list is bygone things from the Disney parks and surrounding areas. So it can include anything within the Disney boundaries.
Okay.
Yeah, Briars is looking at me because I you know.
He's fudged the name of it to accommodate some of his choices.
I gave you warning, so I wasn't cheating on this one.
But just because you give warning doesn't mean that
the
rules can change.
Enough time for you to change yours
ask
if you wanted to.
Permission. Well, it's all in love. I'm intrigued to hear what it is that's not in the parks, but that's outside of the parks that you're kind of missing.
All right. Well, you will see.
I will see.
Okay.
Ooh, is it? No, okay, never mind. I have a guess.
Okay, you might have a guess. But we'll not.
Wait, I have a major guess.
No, dude, you can't guess.
Can I guess when we get there?
When we get into it a little bit.
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, so beyond that, we're also going to talk a little bit of Disney news and tidbits. Some talk about the Good Dinosaur, just a little bit. Briars and I both saw it recently, and just a couple quick thoughts on it, I think, right?
Yes, we haven't discussed what we think about it.
Yeah, we kind of were saving it for the air.
Secretive.
And also a couple of little tidbits from Disneyland rumors and other things. So we'll get to that. And then finally, we have my lovely wife, Terry, is going to be join us a little bit later. And we've had a Stump Briars and a Stump Rick. So now it's time for Terry to stump both of us. So
I was going to say. Boom.
I'm
sorry.
I'm surrounded by a lot of smart and lovely ladies today. I always like that, you know. So it's always good to have
laid on thick.
I genuinely feel that. Okay. You need to work on your self-confidence there.
I guess. I won't comment right now.
Okay. I'm not sure what you would say to that.
What's going through my head.
Anyway, like before, I'm not sure if I'm getting myself in trouble or not here, but before I get myself in more trouble, let's go on to the Disney list.
And now, the Disney list.
All right. So these are things that are no longer at Disney World, land. I think that... and these are things we wish we could have seen. We might not have experienced them, but these are things that we perhaps wanted to be there and we didn't get to see, right?
Yeah, so, yes.
I will say that, Briars, if I'm speaking too much for you, that this is primarily, I'm looking at my list and I'm guessing with Briars' list, this is primarily Walt Disney World. I have a couple honorable mentions, perhaps, that are Disneyland, but it really is... Disney World is where both Briars and I kind of grew up going to and have things that we might have experienced or have heard about that haven't done. So I have a lot of Disney World, I think almost all Disney World on my list. How about you?
Yes, mine's predominantly
okay.
Disney World, but there is a Disneyland appearance.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And the honorable mentions, there are Disneyland stuff. Mm-hmm. So if we get to that, you'll hear that. There's so much stuff out there that... Yeah, I think they're getting cooler and cooler and better and better, that it's hard to look back and say, oh my God, that would have been awesome. But what I'm saying more is that it's nostalgia.
Yes.
It's like, that's so quaint or that's so cool. They wouldn't do that anymore at Disneyland or Disney World. And that's where I found the basis of my list.
And I had some that just inspired. I'm like, oh, like maybe that is missing from that park, something like that ride.
Right.
There's like one that I had never heard of. And I was like, maybe, you know, that would be cool. But maybe if there's a reason it closed, but I'm intrigued by it, what it has to offer
right.
and what it brings that didn't exist prior to the ride being there.
Yeah, that's fair. So why don't you start us off? I feel like I've been leading us. So you go with your number five.
Okay. My number five is Body Wars in the Wonders of Life Pavilion. You're nodding your head?
It's not on my list, but I thought about it. Body Wars, there's a lot of interesting stuff with Body Wars.
So this one, it opened in October of 1989, there's a high possibility I went on it. I was not able to fact check with my parents.
It was
in
the Wonders of Life Pavilion, correct?
Yes, okay. Yeah, that's what, yeah. And so I'm not confirmed that I went on it. I'm guessing I did, but I do not remember it. So I'm coming from a place of not going on it, but it was an early motion simulator ride where you go inside the human body with a crew and you're fighting off the white blood cells from a splinter. I was reading a.
Is it a little bit like Inner Space, the movie Inner Space? I think I did this. I did this ride for sure. But it's so long ago that I just don't remember it. Uh-huh. But I remember it being like an inner space type, right? Which is you shrunk down and go
into
a person's body.
Yeah, because you're in a spaceship called Bravo 229. Yeah,
Why Bravo 229? I wonder.
There was no explanation. Okay. I know. I was like, is that a body thing? I don't know.
Bravo, nice body. I don't know.
Wait, is 229? Is that now? I'm having. Is that how many? No, I'm not going to say.
Okay, how many body parts there are? Or something like
no.
That?
Maybe I'll.
Okay.
Well. Okay. But so I love motion simulator rides. That's what got me the most on it.
Now you do, or back then you did?
Always have. Like,
okay.
Have
wow.
When I was young, and I still do.
Okay.
Like I love them.
Yeah. Some of my least favorite rides tend to be. Oh, that's not true.
You get sick from them.
I mean, I still like Star Tours, but I can't do them as much. I feel vertigo a little bit from them and get a little nausea.
And yeah, I get zero nausea. As a child, Star Tours was my favorite. Like when I was like five, I could have gone on Star Tours over and over. So I love those rides because they feel safe. I think as a child, I knew I could see the ride and know like they weren't going to entirely flip that machine. It would never get too scary. But it was just something so fun with the screen, and they made it feel like you were really on some kind of, you know, crazy ride and they can turn you. So this just sounded really fun. And it also, I mean, I know Epcot's goal has always been to be fun but also educational, and this seemed like it could really achieve that, but also being a true thrill. I think sometimes Epcot, my struggle with it is that when it goes down the educational route, it gets a little boring. You know,
well,
that would be...
The issue with Epcot now is so much has changed and shut down. I think the idea of educational part, I don't know if people are turned off by that exactly, but something about it, when people go to Disney World, it seems like it doesn't gel as well with people. Mm-hmm. So several pavilions, I think, have closed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. You know, I think because they've made it, they haven't made it enough of still a ride. Because I think like this proves an example of how you can still have a true ride where you're like, oh, buckle up, hang on, but we're learning.
Right.
You know? And so the ride then closed in January of 2007. And I'm guessing, you know, that it sounds like this was just a thing of it had kind of run its course.
The Wonders of Life Pavilion, did Soarin' replace it, or is it still there? Is the building still there?
The building is still there for special events.
Okay.
is what I read in my research.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can go wave to where Body Wars used to be.
Yeah, looking at the list of candidates, there seems to be several Epcot Future World stuff that is no longer there. Mm-hmm. I know people have fond memories of Figment, who I don't think is still there anymore, right? So,
we can talk about that.
Okay, I won't.
Hint.
Okay, sorry, I won't. Didn't mean to step on you. Can I go to my number five?
You may.
All right, my number five is not a flashy ride, and it's probably one that many, if not most people, don't remember that fondly. But for some reason, I remember it really well. Well enough that I instantly went to try to Google it and find out. It's If You Had Wings at Walt Disney World, sponsored by Eastern Airlines. It was in Tomorrowland, and it was a simple ride. When it first opened, it was opened in 1972 and closed down in 1987. It was transferred to a different...
I never wrote this.
Yeah, it really wasn't anything. I'm not selling it very much, but it's a nostalgia thing for me, once again. It was sponsored by Eastern Airlines. When the park opened up, it was still a ticket attraction. You had to pay for tickets and everything like that. So you had to do that sort of thing. And was free, and you go into this pod, and you go through the dark ride, and it's just screens of places they go. So it might have been like Jamaica or Bermuda or various places, and it was just, you kind of get swept up into the sounds of and sights of places that Eastern Airlines flew you to. It was kind of a bit of an ad, and there
sounds
nothing so special about it, except I remember really just kind of liking the music. If You Had Wings, it was like over and over again. Mm-hmm. And
I'm curious, so what was the vehicle like? That you said it was a dark
ride. It was an Omni mover. So it was
Was it like the closed kind, like on, Haunted Mansion or Little Mermaid, or more open, like the Great Movie?
It wasn't open. It was individual.
Was it like an airplane?
It was a few. No, it wasn't like an airplane.
Really,
I remember it was a few riders
in
a row.
Missed opportunity, right?
Yeah, I think it was more akin to, a doom buggy kind of thing, a little bit.
So two people would sit.
Three,
together.
I think you get three or four. I don't remember exactly what. This is going from memory.
I want to look at pictures.
And if you look at the video on YouTube, it doesn't look like anything because you're just kind of going through and you see the screens. But I just remember making an impact for me.
And the airline again was
Eastern Airlines.
It
went out
right?
of business. Although I saw somewhere that it might be back, if possible. I don't know.
How does that work then?
Right? I don't know.
It
definitely went out of business for a while. And if it's back, it's fairly recent. But I remember.
Maybe the ride will come back.
I remember Eastern Airlines. Maybe I have an associate because we flew Eastern Airlines a lot back when I was a kid. This is when I was really young. But
Interesting.
I don't know that many people. I'm curious if anybody out there remembers If You Had Wings and it made any sort of impact like it did on me. So, but it's my number five. I had to slip it in there.
Yeah.
It's not in a very exciting one, but to me, it's a nostalgic one.
It sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
The visual I have in my head, I would ride it.
Okay. All right.
I'm intrigued.
Okay. Well, you're number four.
My number four is one I never knew about until doing research for this top five. And I was just really intrigued by it. And that is Rocket Rods.
That's an honorable mention for me.
Okay. And that was in Disneyland, in Tomorrowland. And it briefly replaced the People Mover. And I think what struck me, and this is kind of what I was getting at before we started the top five, was that I think sometimes I love Tomorrowland, as I've said in previous podcasts. But I think it's definitely lacking in number of rides and in thrills. Except for Space Mountain, there's really nothing that's that.
Star Tours?
But I don't think of Star Tours as that scary or thrilling.
Okay.
It's fun, but it's very relaxed.
Right.
To me. Maybe it's
just, I don't know if people would say that so much, but yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
So, but Rocket Rods, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw this Rocket Rod ride, which was an outdoor, kind of looked like a more chill roller coaster outdoors. And I just thought like that, I feel like there's a lot of potential there to have a fun, like unique themed futuristic coaster that goes outdoors because Space Mountain is entirely inside. And I just felt like, yeah, maybe that's missing and there's some potential there. It's a bummer because the whole reason it didn't really work is because they were using the same track as the People Mover.
They couldn't do bank turns and keep the speed. It had to slow down whenever it turned. And it completely ruined the fun effect of kind of like what you get with Test Track or Radiator Springs Racer.
Exactly.
Racers.
So, I mean, I can see how it was like a dud. And you read poor ride, like every few months, they were like, it was closed for repairs and they'd say they were going to open. And then what eventually happened is it was closed for repairs and just never reopened.
Right.
Poor Rocket Rods.
The stop and starting of the, the bank turns and slowing down.
The previous tracks from the People Mover. So it was only open from May 1998 to April 2001.
And the executives admitted, said that it just didn't work. She said the mistake was, the person who said it was the mistake was that we built it on a People Mover track and it just wasn't suited for the ride we wanted.
But I'm like, I'm just thinking, I wonder, maybe they weren't feeling the ride being there, but why they didn't just entirely rip the track out and put in a proper track, just redo the attraction or upgrade it to the needs.
My understanding, and this is just reading, is that they couldn't get a sponsor for it, and therefore they had a limited budget.
Needed Eastern Airlines,
right? They had a limited budget for it,
or NASA,
and therefore they couldn't do it exactly the full tilt with it, and that's
a bummer.
That's what they had to try that.
They were
one.
All about sponsoring rides back in.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen as much.
No, not as much.
But like everything was sponsored.
Well, Honda's sponsoring Autotopia now. They're going to close it down in Disneyland. I'm not sure Disney World as well.
Oh.
And kind of updated a little bit because Honda is now a sponsor for Autotopia. So
I just remember Kodak sponsoring a lot
yeah,
of things,
right?
Like the Lion yeah. King ride.
Uh-huh.
Everything was Kodak.
The Lion King ride
that.
Or
the show. Okay. Yeah, yeah, the
yeah.
show.
Yeah, good one. Okay,
yeah.
You take one of my. I okay. thought about putting that.
I've never heard of it.
I've not heard good things about it, but it just sounds to be over Tomorrowland, zooming
yeah.
around and slow.
So I think it was more the concept.
Do you like the people mover in Walt Disney World?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that for nostalgia purposes.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you.
The fact that it goes through Space Mountain, you get
right?
that glimpse, kind of like the train and Splash Mountain. Yeah.
Totally
big
with
fan.
You. Totally with you.
Keep
I,
it.
I don't think it's anything great, but I think it's a nostalgia thing. It's just kind of cool
like,
to be there.
Never a line.
And everybody can go on it.
And it's so
the
efficient
family.
Getting yeah. on. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So my
number. We like People Mover. Right.
we agree.
Look
yay.
At us.
Number
happy
four.
Happy holidays, Rick.
I'm happy holidays to you too.
Thank you.
I'm stepping out of the parks for this one. So this is one of the ones that have you heard the legend of River Country by any chance? It's the basically the first water park at Walt Disney World. It used like the natural lake water.
Is that
water,
the one where they found the
brain?
Things? Yes,
eating,
okay.
And supposedly that's not necessarily confirmed why it
explain
didn't.
It in detail.
Well,
say what they found.
Well, it opened in 1976 and closed 2001. They found
because
some sort of I believe an 11-year-old passed away or something from something that he got supposedly
brain eating
there. Yeah,
what were they like worms or something?
Bacteria. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All
exactly
I know
what it
is I read that and was like, even
yeah.
if that water park miraculously
well,
reopened,
they had,
I would never go.
They had it was a sandy bottom. They had a unique water filtering system. They it was kind of integrated. They made it look rock work and they tried to make it look like an old fashioned swimming hole. Is what
great
they say
for. Bacteria to grow in it sounds
I guess
like.
So. But the interesting thing is they haven't like bulldozed it. It's still there. It's still there and kind of abandoned behind closed. So it almost mm-hmm. has this haunted mystique to me, like old abandoned water park.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool.
Have they
done
a horror
things.
Movie in the old abandoned water park? Because I have a location for you guys at
but
Walt Disney
don't
World.
Don't actually film there because people could get the thing in their brains.
the
die.
Bacteria. But
I'm really concerned about the brain eating.
I don't think it's as spectacular or as wonderful as what Blizzard Beach is or Typhoon Lagoon is, but they had a Whoop and Holler water slide, which is basically a short water slide that just dropped you into flying into the water.
And you like, whoop and holler
I
while
guess,
going down it.
I guess so. That's but it just kind of looked cool, and I like the idea of it being integrated into the water around. It was kind of a neat idea, and I would have liked to check it out and see what that's about. I mean, I'm sure that the new water parks make it pale in the comparison, but
which aren't so new anymore.
No,
I don't
right?
really. They're getting up there.
Yeah, well, Universal.
One of them opened, is Typhoon Lagoon like 89 or something?
I don't know that.
They're definitely like 80s, early 90s.
Well, you know Universal is opening like a brand new water park there.
They
so
would.
It's okay. They can do that.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
I think it'd be kind of cool what they're doing. And there's room for multiple theme parks here, Briars. It's okay.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, River Country, as I said, 1976 to 2001, it finally closed. It was supposedly not announced that it wasn't opening. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, we're not opening again. It's, you know, we're done. So that's what happened.
And that's your one that's not inside the parks?
One of two.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I feel like that is, since it was a park.
Oh, you could count that. You don't feel so. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then maybe only one will potentially violate.
We're off
what
the hook a little bit.
Okay. Give me your number three, please.
My number three is Journey into Imagination with
there
Figment.
There it is. Figment, my man.
This one actually,
the purple dinosaur wingy thing.
It could have been number one. I don't know why I didn't make it number one because I love it so much. Yeah, the purple dinosaur, the dream finder. So this was open 1983 to 1998 in Epcot. And it has been replaced by a similar Figment ride, Journey into Imagination with Figment, which I went on in 2010. And that's part of the reason the old version made my list is because the new version, like I was not into the way they had changed it. Mainly by getting rid of the bearded man with the top hat and the goggles. He was like the main event.
The Willy Wonka-esque
kind
of guy.
Yes, who created Figment to like catch all the dreams. So yeah, the updated version completely got rid of him, which I don't understand. And I just remember like Figment on his bicycle and all. I just remember all the effects of the original, and it felt a lot more like pure and magical. And they've just they simplified it. It felt like the Winnie the Pooh ride or something.
Do you think
it's
possible that you grew up a little bit and just didn't seem, when they did that, it didn't seem as big of a deal to you because you're older when they did that?
You mean if I had gone on the old ride now, if I would still like it as much?
Yeah, maybe. Or if you were young, really young, when you went on the newer version of it, would you have liked it more? Not, you know.
I think my biggest thing is that they got rid of like this interesting, mysterious character, this
right.
bearded man who seemed like Figment only existed because of him. Like
right.
He was his pet or something.
He wasn't creepy or anything. I remember him. I don't
no.
remember him being particularly creepy.
And
or
I found
anything.
A really cool photo of like, I guess they had. Just like someone would dress as Walt as Mickey or Donald Duck, someone dressed as the bearded man. He doesn't have a name either, as far as I could find, which I like. So mysterious. And he walked around with like the Figment puppet. And I found an old photo of someone like posing with him, like a character photo. So maybe we can put that on the Instagram.
Okay.
That person doesn't
All right.
mind. They won't know. It's
we'll
an
see.
old stock photo.
Right.
So yeah, I'm just in, it feels like they changed it so much that it's not the same.
I remember a lot of those rides vaguely. And I was at Epcot as a kid. For some reason, World Showcase sticks in my head more when it comes to Epcot. Maybe that's telling why a lot of these rides have gone away. I mean, I liked Figment. Figment was always a big part of my imagery of Epcot, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when I was young, that Figment was big.
Yeah.
So it's I'm sorry that
I
he's gone.
I think that this list was tough for me because I don't have a great memory with specifics outside of like the classic rides.
Right.
And this was one I really remembered, and I remember too a few years back going on the new one and being like, wait a second, this is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
again,
okay.
yeah, you're right. I don't know if it's just.
I don't know. It's a good one.
An age thing, and I don't know.
It's definitely one that I think a lot of people will miss, and it's a character.
Where'd the bearded man go?
I don't know.
Where is he?
I don't
Isn't
know.
Isn't anyone worried about him?
Let us know out there, please.
He was so busy for years.
And if he has a name, let us know if he has a name.
Yeah.
Maybe he does, and we just missed it online. I don't know.
I
didn't really research
does.
Him
I think
too
that's
much.
Part of his mystery.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right.
I kind of don't want
maybe
him to have a name.
Maybe he too was a Figment.
Or I think maybe his name is Dreamfinder.
Okay.
Now I'm looking at my notes, which is kind of crazy fun too. It's like
those kooky people at Disney. Can I go on to my number
you
three?
You may.
All right. This is one that I don't wonder if it'll be on yours. It's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea at Walt Disney World. They used to have Submarine Voyage at Disneyland, but I grew up going to the sub ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea at Walt Disney World. I always remember that the near the finale where the giant squid would take the ship. And now, truth be told, the Finding Nemo subride is not really my favorite. I don't love the ride. But as a kid, I loved that ride, the sub ride. So I'd like to go back in time and ride that a couple times. You know, take my kids on it.
What year did it close?
It went from... opened 1971 and closed 1994.
Yeah, okay.
So you probably you.
I don't. I never went on it. I don't think.
But you were there.
Or
when
I may
it was...
have gone on it when I was three.
Right.
And I remember going and my brothers commenting like we walked past where the empty lake was or
right.
whatever replaced it at World.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them being like, that's where 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was. And I was like, what are you talking about? I have zero memory of it. And they loved it.
Right.
But I do not like Nemo. Strong abhorrence
okay.
for Nemo.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's terrible.
No,
I don't love it.
I'm trapped on this ride. Get me off.
Right. Okay, so yeah, you have a real reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting thing is that they destroyed a lot of the subs, but they kept three of the subs, one of which I think is somewhere in a back lot somewhere, maybe Disney's Hollywood Studios it is. But two of the remaining two subs from the one at Walt Disney World, they put in Castaway Cay, which is their private island from the Disney cruise in the Bahamas or the Caribbean. And one has since been, I believe, destroyed by hurricane-type weather, and one of them still is there as kind of a natural reef for, you know, the fish and the sea life and that sort of thing.
Oh, so they're underwater.
They sunk them. They sunk them underwater. And they're
so they brought entirely new subs in for Finding Nemo.
Oh, but these are the subs that were
just
at
the World ones.
Walt Disney World.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they did. Just I think they refurbished.
I think
ones.
So.
Okay,
I think so. So,
but what replaced it at World? They have like a plaque there or something.
Yeah,
something
the
that my
lagoon's
brother
not there
was
anymore.
Able to be like, that's where 20,000
I think the set, maybe
was.
the mine coaster, the Seven Dwarfs mine coaster, might be where it was. I could be wrong, but I feel like.
But it was in yeah, like Fantasyland.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's what I think that where well, the Seven Dwarfs mine coaster is where it used to be. That's what I think.
Okay.
So I think so. So that's my number three. What is your number two? We're on number two now?
My number two, yeah. You're going to give me a hard time about
probably,
that.
Probably, but
I like mind.
Doing it. Okay. I'll be good, kind of, sort of.
As I was looking at things that have closed, this came up, and I realized how much I enjoy this attraction, and that is the American Idol experience in Disney's Hollywood Studios.
We talked about this in an earlier podcast, I think.
I'm sorry. It is so cool that someone can just walk into the park with their family, and little does little 16-year-old Anna Marie know.
A.K.A. Breyers.
No. Actually, I have a traumatic story where my family made me audition, but I can't even tell it. It's so traumatic.
Oh, okay. Now you have to tell it.
It's so true.
What's the story?
Well, it's basically they made me audition. I'm not a singer. I don't claim to be a singer. I tell my parents I don't. I enjoy singing like for fun, but I'm not like, ugh. And I don't even store like harbor dreams in the back of my mind. Like someday I'll be on a singing competition or cut an album. I don't harbor those dreams. Like I do enjoy singing like in the car or in the shower, right. Like most people.
So they force you to audition?
Forced me to audition.
And how'd that go? What happened?
And then my brother agreed to do it with me. One of my brothers. We went in and the woman was nice. It was just bad. I mean, she was like nice, but was like, okay, well, I forget which. And she was recommending someone on YouTube that I could take singing lessons from by watching the YouTube videos. And
that's
like,
surprising. I would think they would do their best to make you feel good, even though you didn't do a good job at Disney. Wouldn't you think their mission wouldn't be to kind of knock you down?
I don't know.
Unless the Simon Cowell character.
I just remember leaving and I was more upset. I wasn't upset with the woman or that it hadn't gone well. I was more upset with my family because they literally were like, we're not leaving until you go and audition.
Right. Right.
And I was like, you guys need to let go of whatever dreams you have that I'm going to be a singer, because I'm not.
And focus on the actress part.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because okay. If it had been like a monologue audition or something.
We digress. So tell me why this one.
So that speaks volumes that I had that traumatic experience.
And you still
but I
like the show.
Still love it, because I love being in the audience and you have the power to vote. And then at the end of the day, the winners of all the shows compete in like a finale show, and they every day they hand out a golden, it's like called like the golden fast pass. The host makes a joke about it, and that's the ability to jump those crazy American Idol lines that you see, you know, when they go to Dallas or New York, of thousands and thousands of people, you literally can jump that line with that ticket. It's pretty cool. So it's neat that it actually like had an end result, and then I was reading up, and there's like four or five people that got those tickets and then went on to make the top five. It was funny, someone was from like the UK or something, and then they could take that ticket
show?
Back. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool.
It's just cool that, I don't know, it makes the park feel, and you're suddenly like, these were people in the park that just came today to ride Tower of Terror, and they're suddenly like,
you might
star
not,
up for the day. It's
you might
fun.
Not be able to answer this, but when they had Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, what was the prize for winning Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Do you remember what you got?
I think that was during the 10 years I didn't go.
Okay, because I never made it onto that.
That I would submit for and not have
trauma. That would be fun. But I'm curious what, because usually
you don't,
give something.
Yeah. Oh, I'm guessing there's, maybe it's the same thing. Like you get, like the winner for the day qualifies to audition to be on the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's
I don't
look
know.
It up.
I don't know. Yeah.
So was that in the same theater?
I think so. Okay. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Like,
but it feels like it could be. I don't know. The Hollywood Studios is not my. I don't get
I
a good lay of
that
one.
That story.
I'm
like
sorry for
flashbacks.
Traumatizing you.
Okay.
My number two. Am I okay for my number two?
Oh, I was just gonna say it's part of the reason too that I was like, oh my gosh, keep American Idol because it's been replaced by. For the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. And it's like, meh, like people's dreams coming true with singing or letting it go again. So, I don't know.
Giving the people what they want, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
American Idol is ending this year, so.
Yes.
My number two is...
That I'm okay with, by the way.
You're okay with that one.
To clarify, American Idol can go off the air. I just enjoy the experience of the park.
Okay.
I don't want... Yeah.
My number two is the next one that goes out of the parks, and this is the one that I think you'll definitely... there was something, Pleasure Island. I'm sure you remember Pleasure Island. There was something that was open from 1989 to 2008 called the Adventurers Club. It was... Pleasure Island celebrated New Year's Eve every night at midnight. But the Adventurers Club apparently
was... every night of the year?
Every night of the year. Pleasure Island, they did New Year's Eve at midnight. They celebrated New Year's.
That's amazing. Went to Pleasure Island.
I think they stopped it around like 95 or maybe a little later. I'm not sure. But Adventurers Club was kind of a place... I've heard that it's one of the most free-form places in Walt Disney World where a lot of the actors and performers wanted to go because they really... were given some more free rein than they were in other parts of the parks. And this place was a big kind of nightclub bar, and they had different rooms. And one of the rooms had masks, and a couple of the masks like talked to everybody. Hmm. And then they had this like genie head effect that somebody talked in there. It just sounded like a really cool place and
so
a little bit more adult.
Experienced
I never got
this.
To go there. I was there when Pleasure Island was around, but I missed that one. I miss that one. And it sounds really cool to hear people talk about it, to hear the fandom. There's a really pretty rabid fan base, people who just want to bring back the Adventurers Club, hope it comes back. It just sounds like a really cool kind of Disney does nightclub vibe. And it sounds really neat to me. So I really would like to have seen that and check that out. And I'm sorry I missed it. You know, I certainly was of age for a lot of the time it was there, not all of it, but I think that's kind of a cool thing that I would have liked to see and experience, and people really talk fondly of it. So yeah, I don't know. That's my number two. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I'm just intrigued. I don't know the Pleasure Island.
Look it up when you get a chance.
Pleasure Island.
You know, check it out. And I don't know that it does it justice in the videos they show, but
it's located at Downtown Disney.
It was on Pleasure Island in Downtown Disney and Walt Disney World. Disney Springs now.
Disney Springs looks...
It looks so cool, doesn't
it? Pretty neat. Yeah.
Considering it's a kind of mallish sort of thing, it looks really neat.
Yeah.
All right, you're number one. The big moment for
Breyer's
number one
is... Drumroll, no. Extraterrestrial alien encounter.
Oh, that's my number one
No
as well.
Way.
Absolutely.
Seriously?
Absolutely, it's my number one. And I did go on it.
Who are we?
Right?
I did not go on
it. Okay, I went on it.
So I'll give the facts. It opened in June 1995, and it closed in October 2003. So I would have had two times that I went in that period when it was open, and I did not go on it. But I remember vividly my brother went on a trip with the Boy Scouts to Disney World, and I remember him coming back and talking about going on this ride and talking in detail. It was like, I remember like having nightmares just in his description of it. I remember him saying like the alien comes out, it breathes on your neck and it drools. I was like, how is this possible? And I think what appealed to me most going through everything, I'm almost like, I don't know if I would go on it if it existed, but I want it to exist because I think there needs to be something that's this terrifying in the parks.
It truly, and I mean this in a good way, it truly did not fit in Disney, and that was what was great about it.
Exactly.
It was just,
That's
it was unexpected.
Is
it was scary without being totally, totally terrifying.
Uh-huh.
And I think the problem is a lot of people, and it was clearly posted, do not bring your kids
12
under 12 and under.
And
people brought
age.
Their kids 12 and under into it. Oh, it's Disney. It can't be so bad. And then they terrified the living poopy out of them. It was just...
Did write it.
Oh, yeah. Terry and I wrote it, in 2000, right? And we thought it was great. It was just like wonderful. We loved a lot of things, but it was so un-Disney.
Terrifying.
It wasn't so scary. Yeah, it wasn't so scary. It wasn't that bad.
It sounds
bad,
like most
was...
of the effects and what's scaring you is your own mind.
Right.
That it just goes to dark. Well, like most of the ride
it's tough
is
to
in
be
the
a bug.
Dark.
You know, it's tough to be a bug. A
scares
lot of
some... me right. so much when the things like go
my
over your
daughter,
feet.
We still haven't taken my daughter back on it because that was the one thing she couldn't make it
so
through.
So she would love extraterrestrial.
I think she might do okay. I think she might. Terry's saying no.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. Yeah. I'm agreeing.
Okay.
I think get her on like Space Mountain and like
I think she would do Alien Encounter before she'd do Space Mountain.
This sounds like it's more in your head and like you're your own worst enemy creating the fear. That's what I got. And that's why I was like, it sounds terrifying.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But
But I think I would want to go in it just because it's like what is this?
It was, look, I don't want to build it up too much because it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't know about that. But it was so un-Disney.
Exactly.
And that's what was really cool about it.
I loved reading, whoever was CEO at the time, Eisner?
Okay. Eisner.
The soft open for it to him was not scary enough, and they closed it and then got what they got. And I know it had some issues with people dying from it, dying on it. But everything I read about that...
Wait,
they
had people dying on it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think there were two deaths related to like people had been on the ride, but both
of them... It's one of those things like they came off and they had pre-existing conditions.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, one had like a brain aneurysm and something had a heart condition. Right. So it's, yeah. And I mean, if you sit there and think about how many people go on these rides day in and day out, I mean, just in the time we're recording this episode, hundreds of people are going on each of the big rides. So.
I think you give a list of attractions that are now gone to people, more adult people, and I'm willing to bet that this is the one that they point to and say, this is the one I want back.
Yeah.
Because there's really, if it's a really great ride, they tend to keep them around. So this is one of the ones that really appealed to a little bit more mature audience, something different. That's gone. Everything
such
else, I can
bummer.
See why. Yeah, it really is. It's a shame.
Because it sounds like it was such a true experience.
Totally think they could bring it back at the parks.
Did I read correctly? Tyra Banks was one of early... Because I think you go through two... It sounds like the queue, too, was well done. There were like two rooms
Was Phil Hartman a part of it, too?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. I read that as well.
Okay.
It was replaced by Stitch's Great Escape in 2006, which is someone hilariously put on the internet, Stitch's Great Mistake. I don't know if that was a mistake in the typing.
Not as bad as the under new management Tiki Room, but I think people really missed Alien Encounter.
Yeah,
so.
And that's when they messed the castle up like Stitch had messed it up to celebrate. But it does sound like, I mean, I guess they got enough complaints or problems with it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this the one, too, that required, had air sickness bags, or was that the one in Epcot that there's more of a spinning action?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think this one did. I do know that they made sure you were strapped down. Like, it was like you were locked in.
Yeah.
So you couldn't move, and that obviously added to the experience of, I am trapped in here, and there's something breathing on my neck.
Would the actual room, like, spin some?
No, I don't think so. It was air effects. It was water. It was kind of liquid effect. It was visual effects. It was.
That's
insane.
It sounds like a lot of it was you and your own mind too. I mean, the effects were impressive, but it's all like mental.
Oh, but they did it so well.
The alien has broken out.
Yeah, it's a ride that should be around today, and they could modify in different ways, but it should have been around today. And
I'll just never forget my 9-year-old self and my brother coming home, being like, "No, like an alien broke out and like breathed on my neck."
Is he a surfer dude or something?
Yeah, I guess. That's what your brother sounds like when he's in middle. Yeah, actually, probably did sound like that in middle school. That's all middle schoolers sound, right?
Sure.
Seventh grade math. Oh, homework. Right?
Yes. Okay. We'll go with that, Bryce.
Thank you.
Anyway,
that's my impression of a 10-year-old boy.
That is nice. Let me a couple honorable mentions real quick. Is Spectro Magic Parade? It ran until 2010. I don't miss it so much in the fact that we now have the Paint the Night, but it was a really cool nighttime parade. And another thing that Terry and I saw when we were there, and we came out of Liberty Tree Tavern, and we're on the porch and had the perfect view for this awesome parade. I have fond memories of that.
This is at World?
It was at World. It was at World. You mentioned Rocket Rods. And
I did. A classic.
It's still around. It's still around Walt Disney World, but not at Disneyland. The Swiss Family Treehouse.
Yes.
Right?
R.I.P.
I'm
sorry, Tarzan. You don't matter enough to replace the coolest family ever.
That's a nostalgia thing. But it was kind of cool to have those water buckets and the...
I mean, that movie, everyone wanted to live in a house and just like abandon their lives and go have pet elephants.
Yeah.
So you can't take that away from children.
Yeah.
So it's still the same at World.
It's still at World, but it's not at... It's, my understanding, it's still at World and it's not at
and
Disneyland.
It's not
anymore.
Like Tarzan had a reboot or Tarzan had a movie coming out.
It did. Yeah. Animated film.
That's when they replaced it long ago?
Yes, it was the animated film, the Phil Collins, I Think You Belong in My Heart.
I thought they replaced it like more recently I know that film.
No, it was...
Again, not a great...
In Disneyland, it was, I believe it was...
Not a classic.
I think it was 1962 to 1999, I believe.
When it came out. Okay.
Yeah, I think it came out around
then.
See,
I only knew World, and it stayed at World.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think it was 1999. For some reason, I have it written down.
That sounds about
2007,
right.
2007, but that seems way too late. I think it's 1999. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely
1999. Yeah,
that's Tarzan
right.
came
so,
out.
So anyway, so those are a couple honorable mentions. And you hit some of the Epcot things that I thought about for sure, too, as well.
Look
so,
at us.
Nice.
Complimentary.
So, that's right. So if you guys have any questions, comments, whatever,
your own top five.
At the Disney Click on Twitter.
And at the Disney Click on Instagram.
There you go.
And use the hashtag top five Disney Click. Was that casual?
That was good.
Okay, great.
Good.
Sit down, movie lovers. Here comes movie reviews.
All right. So now we have kind of, I call it Disney bits or something. It's kind of news-ish. I don't know.
Disney bits.
I don't know. Oh, I got some Disney bits in me. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I do. I'm going to leave this alone.
Let it settle.
The Good Dinosaur. You and I both saw The Good Dinosaur recently, and we have not talked about it on purpose, so we could kind of let our thoughts flow out here. Briar, since you're the real Pixar person here, I'm going to let you have first crack, and I might interject a little bit.
Feel free to interject. I don't mind.
Okay.
The Good Dinosaur. Such an interesting movie. My gut reaction leaving was like it didn't seem like Pixar in a lot of ways, story-wise. Visually, I thought it was gorgeous. Some of the things I loved were the visuals, the music. I really loved the score. The Western theme spin, like an old-timey, like Clint Eastwood Western and the accents of the characters. And the boy and his dog storyline flipped on its head was really original. And the way that they found for this boy to act like a dog. I had some struggles. The story was a bit too simplistic. I wanted it to be more up to the Pixar standards of challenging adults. And I kept waiting for it to pick up in pace. And one thing that I really struggled with, too, was none of the secondary characters popped for me outside. I mean, I loved Paw, but there wasn't like a Bing Bong character that you leave loving. That's kind of my...
Right.
I just threw it all up
no,
there.
No, it's all out there. I thought that, I'm still kind of thinking about it. It's not like Cars 2 area for me, but it's certainly not Toy Story, Ratatouille, Incredibles.
Oh, no.
I think it's a little bit slow in the beginning. I was kind of waiting for the story to move along. I thought they spent a lot of time.
I liked the beginning. One of my favorite parts.
Yeah. I just thought it lingered on that too much. I got the point. Perhaps I was waiting for the tragedy, the separation to happen because you kind of know that
you
happens. I thought that the villainous characters were a little bit kind of rammed into the story a little bit.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, I like the pterodactyl type things. Spoiler alert. If we don't mean to be too spoilerly, what is that a word here? But I thought there was just no true villain that I love.
Outside of the main two, outside of the boy and the dinosaur, there were no characters. I would give the T-Rex was a little fun and his kids.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine.
Right.
They're mid-range.
I like the pterodactyls, how they used to, at first you think they're good and then you realize, they're up to bad news. But it wasn't meaty enough for me.
That's what I mean. I go back again. My example is Bing Bong. I don't know. I love you.
Yeah, Bing Bong I didn't love as much as most, I think.
Right.
But I understand.
Most people, I mean, he's now like he has his own books and
yeah.
And
I like the
versions
message
of him.
And what Bing Bong was, I do appreciate, despite whatever my feelings on the character.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought. Yes.
When he lets joy go.
Yes.
I can't. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was nothing that struck at that level the same. So
right.
I kept waiting for it to get more complex. Or for a bigger obstacle.
I think
to
it
come
comes
in.
Together. I think it comes together in the end. Perhaps maybe better than you feel, because I did feel some emotion at when. Spoiler alert! When
spoiler alert.
Let's count
turn
one,
off,
two, three. Fast forward. Fast forward 30 seconds here.
Go listen to Adele.
Yeah. Give yourself fast forward 30 seconds to a minute to be safe. When he has to let the boy back to his family.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not his family.
Well, okay, his people like him.
Okay,
people
I
like
just
him.
Wanted to clear.
Yeah, people like him.
Well, I left the people I saw the movie with. We had a whole discussion. I was like, okay, I need to know. That was not his family. And
right.
I think they made it clear by having vastly different hair
right.
and eyes,
right.
which I did love. I don't know if this is intentional, but the boy's eyes are green, just like the dinosaur.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I really liked that.
All right, so we can come
moment.
Back. We can stop talking about the spoiler part. Yeah, so anyway, I thought it did have heart, but I thought the journey to get there was a bit simplistic and not as layered as some other Pixar films can be.
As many characters. You usually leave every Pixar film with five characters that you're talking about or thinking about with memorable lines.
Yeah.
And the T-Rex really had all of them.
It was kind of a barren wasteland in terms of not the story,
literally and figuratively.
But it just, there wasn't too much things to keep track of. There wasn't too many characters. That said, if you're a Pixar fan, go see it. I would tell you to go see it for sure. I don't think it was bad. I just wasn't up to what I was hoping to be. I came in with lower expectations. I was hoping they would far exceed them.
Same.
And I liked it. I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel now.
Yeah.
After,
same.
You know. So okay. So
I want to see it again. I was a little fatigued from Thanksgiving food.
Sure.
I was definitely a little groggy watching it. But yeah.
I'll give it a better than most of the animated stuff out there.
Yeah, which just shows.
I don't want to come down
too
negative.
Even Pixar on its weaker side, Pixar on a bad day is still better than
a lot of other stuff out there, right?
DreamWorks.
You're going to say DreamWorks again. DreamWorks is not that. I like DreamWorks. Rick. I like DreamWorks. I like Disney. I like.
Yeah.
I just saw Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Is for the first time?
No, I saw it again. My kids are watching, but on a road trip, and it's a really good movie. It's a really good movie.
Did you see? Did you catch all the previews before? Because they had previews from all these animated film companies, which was really interesting, like Blue Sky and Good Dinosaur. Five different movies.
I think I've tweeted it about the Secret Life of Pets is one of my favorite trailers out there right now.
I love
that trailer.
I'm into that because I love dogs so much.
I think it's
excited.
I love looking at my son just cracks up every time the mixer scratches that dog's back and he turns
around.
I get pleasure out of seeing my son laughing hysterically at that. So,
which is interesting what they chose to show. And I just saw this, it got stronger. It was the Secret Life of Pets. That's it. And then Zootopia. And the quality was just interesting to see.
Zootopia too. I really like the trailer.
Yeah.
As well. The sloth.
Sloths.
We'll talk about that in later, I'm sure. But it's...
I think Disney and Pixar are still the standard in animation.
Yeah, but I think there's... I agree, but I also think there's other
ones,
things.
And they've gotten stronger.
Yeah. So I'm not so quickly to dismiss DreamWorks as, I
understand. Put out a lot.
Okay. I like DreamWorks a little bit more. So we'll move on. And I want to talk just a few tidbits about some Disneyland news, and then we can move on to our quiz here. But it was recently reported. This is rumors. This is not confirmed from MiceChat. MiceChat.com is a great source for Disney news and facts. We're not affiliated with them. I really like them. And there is some rumors going on about changes at Disney California Adventure. And we talked way back when about Marvel coming into the parks. And now the latest rumor is that they're going to open a Marvel Studios, or I don't know, it'll be a Marvel Land in California Adventure in two phases. The first phase being a meet and greet and a merchandising opportunity. Not a big deal for me. They want to try to open that before Star Wars Land opens to try to balance the crowds, I guess. I don't see that really being a big draw. Wait a minute. Forget Star Wars Land. We're going to go over and do a meet and greet with...
But this is what you wanted. And you thought it would alleviate crowds.
Well, not just the meet and greet and the merchandise, but what comes in phase two, I think, will help. And that's like a supposedly a mega coaster. I'm guessing a mega indoor coaster, the details, but in
like
phase
rock
two.
And roller coaster?
Yeah, something like that. That'll come a couple years later.
Yeah.
After Star Wars Land opens, and that'll be part of the Marvel Land. That will help.
I think it'll just bring more crowds.
Maybe. I mean, but they do have... maybe.
If things taper off from Star Wars and then a new ride opens.
Right. Well, they frankly should be opening at the same time, but I understand why they're not doing that. But I think that's pretty cool they're doing that. I'm curious how they're going to do that. And I love the idea of a, if it's like a Rock and Roller Coaster or something of that ilk. We've talked about how much we like that ride. So I think that, that's kind of, this is all rumors. So we don't know.
Right. It is just, it's interesting because this was your yeah. dream.
I mean, I would like it to be a little bit more of a fully realized land, and the details aren't out. I don't know how
and
big it's
going
to be.
There's no word on like when they would formally announce that this were
no,
going to happen.
No, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Tentative rumors.
I could see them doing it like at the next D23 convention in, you know, a year and a half.
Right.
I could see that being the next spot they do it. I don't know, but it's drawing board. But they put it on the coaster, and things were put on hold this summer. And then apparently the rumor is they're supposedly getting re-upped again to do that again. So the other thing is a little, not quite as big, but probably a little sooner, is Downtown Disney. They might turn it into Downtown Disney Springs in Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
similar to Walt Disney World. I don't know if they'll call it Downtown Disney Springs, but the House of Blues is moving out, I believe, by the end of this year or early next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are they going to do? They're going to do a major facelift. It kind of needs. And they're going to, there's a place behind the House of Blues where there was a for expansion that they never did. They haven't done yet.
It was going to be a Disney Quest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So
I never got to go to Disney Quest.
Yeah, either did I.
That could be an honorable mention for
yeah.
me.
So anyway, so that there's talk of they're finally going to expand
and do it
and improve Downtown
or
Disney.
Or do something else though, not Disney
no, not
Quest,
not yeah. Disney Quest. I don't think Disney Quest is dead. I mean,
it's
I don't know for sure, but it's, I think it's sort of you can go to your home mm-hmm. computer and do a lot of what you do,
yeah,
you do at Disney
yeah,
Quest
exactly.
now. So I think that's kind of cool yeah. that we might actually get a little bit more fully realized downtown Disney
yeah.
or Disney Springs.
That's one thing. It's interesting. Until this announcement was made, I just always took Downtown Disney for what it was. But, you know, reading about there being a potential facelift or changes, you're like, wait a second, like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, California Adventure's finally kind of finished most of its big renovations, I guess, unless it's getting a Marvel addition, possibly. But, I mean, everything, the parks have really, like, they've been revamped. It's time for Downtown
yeah.
Disney.
I mean, I would rather see park stuff that done than Downtown Disney. But that said, I think Downtown Disney could use.
It is a weak
link. It just needs
right
to be a little bigger. It needs a little bit more variety. I think
there's
they're all exploring
drawing
that.
You there.
Not really. Not really. I mean, we like a couple of the restaurants there. I like a couple of the restaurants there.
I'm trying to think. What's there?
Tortilla Joe's people. Jazz Kitchen.
The Starbucks there. I'm not just saying this. No, literally, the Starbucks there is new and very nice.
Right. And it's very unique to Downtown Disney because there's no Starbucks anywhere else in the world. Right. So, yeah, that's a good reason
to
go Downtown
really
Disney.
It's a really cool Starbucks.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I was serious. I'm serious.
I know you are. And I'm weeping a little bit for you that you're serious about that.
No,
let's
it's a beautiful
Downtown Disney and Starbucks.
It's
earthy.
Purposed wood.
I
yeah.
see it. It's wonderful.
And there's a chalkboard for kids to
draw. It is the reason to go to Downtown Disney.
Sorry, it allows kids to show creativity.
Yeah. So that's, we should go to Downtown Disney for the Starbucks.
I mean, there's not much else.
Okay. All right. So that's our little Disney bits, reviews, whatever you want to call it.
Disney
and,
bits.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of just hits me. Anyway, so
okay.
We'll go on to the next thing.
And now it's time for Stump Rick. Stump Briars.
Okay, so now for our next segment, we have a special guest.
Hello.
Terry Luberoff. And we've done in the past, we've stumped each other or attempted to. We've stumped Rick and stumped Briars. And now we're going to stump Rick and Briars together.
All Terry's at the same time.
Yes.
Yes. Are you guys ready?
As well ever be.
Yes.
These are going to be tough questions today. I'm not going easy on
okay.
either of you.
Remember, I know where you live. So.
I do too. I'm going to keep one eye open at night.
Right.
All right. So.
This is in celebration of Walt Disney's birthday on December 5th.
His 114th?
Oh, well, actually, that's my first question. What year was Walt Disney born?
114 years ago. Do the math, Rick.
No, it's all you.
It's on you. Okay, 100 years ago would be 1915. So,
1901?
Yeah, 1901.
Right.
Okay.
You guys passed
yes.
elementary school level
Woo.
Math.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's a question from your list today. We'll see how well you know the things that you were talking about. What was the original name for the extraterrestrial alien encounter?
Well, it was Mission to Mars before trans, but this is for the ride. What were
for
they
the
going
ride.
To call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the original name for the ride.
Aliens? I don't know. Alien encounter?
That's what I said. Alien encounter is what I thought it was.
No.
What is it?
I don't know.
Nostromo. Do you guys know what that's in reference to?
What is it?
Any idea what
is it from the Aliens film?
It is.
Oh, okay. The first Alien.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a reference to the spacecraft from the 1979 movie Alien.
Do they own the rights to Alien?
Well, they had to. I'm sure they had to get the licensing rights.
Right, okay.
And it's on the Great Movie Ride. It's a whole segment. So there's got to be a Disney partnership ownership.
And James Cameron is doing Pandora. So
that's true.
Well, Ridley Scott did the first Alien. James Cameron did the second Aliens. So
So speaking of big movie directors, what movie director was in the Disneyland park on the day it opened?
Great question, Terry. Let us consult one another.
Walt Disney himself?
No, not That's counting good. Disney. You, we can't count
Trick
Disney.
I feel like
this is a modern major movie director.
I would think like Alfred
who
Hitchcock.
Happened to be in the park on the
day.
Oh,
like
opened.
As a young child?
Possibly.
Like
Steven Spielberg?
Or Martin Scorsese?
You're close.
Clint Eastwood? No, who's old and still alive and famous?
Somebody
George
still.
George Lucas.
There it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Came to me.
George Lucas was 11, I think, when
he went opening day?
He was there That's on cool. opening
wow,
day.
Wow,
I
never
child.
Knew that.
That's
Learned
neat.
Something new. That's
Isn't
a good
that
one.
Cool? I mean, he was there on opening day, and now Disney owns his like masterpiece.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So cool.
And we're thankful for it at this point.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you saw the prequels.
To be seen. We have, 14 days? 13?
Can't be as bad as The Phantom Menace. Or the love story.
And to The Phantom Menace's credit, are kids like that better than Star Wars Episode 4?
Wow.
Oh, really?
I still will keep my kids because I have to, but I'm debating maybe letting them go because of that.
But don't you think that trailers, you can garner a lot from a trailer? And if it's as good as this trailer looks, it's going to be good.
I hope so. I'm trying to keep my expectations reasonable.
And JJ, we trust. I believe in him. No?
What?
Outside
I
of,
do.
Well, I
love JJ.
Yeah.
Abrams.
Yeah,
I think he's great,
but Super 8 was not that good of a film. I'm
disagree.
Sorry.
Oh,
I like
disagree.
I love a lot of what he's done.
Disagree.
Super 8 just was not that great
of
a film.
Okay, new question,
okay.
please.
Okay, next question. This goes to another one of the earlier top 5. Who directed Body Wars?
Oh, okay.
It's someone famous.
Yeah, it's not Spielberg.
Yeah,
it's not Coppola did Captain Neo. Francis Ford Coppola did Captain Neo. Martin Scorsese.
Wait, what year did I say it opened? in the 80s or 70s? 80s? 83? Who was like
Wasn't
big in
a...
the 80s? Is it George again? Lucas?
No.
Robert Zemeckis?
I don't think you guys are going to get it.
No? Okay.
Can you give us a hint of what genre they're known for or something?
He is known to be an actor in a major science fiction genre.
An actor in a major science fiction genre?
Genre.
Well, I mean in a major science fiction franchise.
Franchise.
Yeah.
So Leonard Nimoy?
Yes.
Leonard
Nimoy. Spock. All right. Well,
Did
I get a quarter of a point for that?
Yeah, you get a quarter of a point.
Well, we do. It's a team effort.
We get a quarter of a point.
We're in it together, Rick.
Sorry.
And for a bonus point, what Oscar-nominated actress was in the Body Wars?
I never went on Body Wars, so this is challenging. Oscar-nominated?
Nominated. She did not win.
Oh, there's so many.
There are four every year.
Not one, yeah.
Jane Fonda?
Nope. I'll give it to you because this is just a bonus. Elizabeth Shue.
Oh,
she was in it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I was told I look like her once.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't see it.
Your hair's got to go lighter and shorter.
Maybe she's
maybe.
Blonde and kind of wavy. Yeah. No, there was someone who knew me who was like convinced, but.
Okay.
Maybe it's just ready, a single opinion.
Ready for your next question?
Yes.
What did Walt Disney die of?
Oh, people always think it's lung cancer.
Yeah, it wasn't lung cancer. He's dead, Mason.
I actually did research on that for this quiz. He's not cryogenically frozen.
No, that's
he is actually buried.
True or false?
And you know what? I have to. So I'm looking for the broad answer here. I didn't get into the specific medical.
It wasn't cancer. It wasn't cancer. Was it like pneumonia or something?
What's your answer, Briars?
Because
I think you know this.
No, I know it sounds. It's not
Pixar envy. Makes Briars would know it. So.
Is that a new
Pixar came after Walt died, Rick? Get your timeline straight.
You have Pixar
Let's
envy.
Let's see.
I'm looking for the broad
diagnosis.
Once
you say it, I'm gonna.
Broadly, what did he die of?
Like a bad
death,
cold or something. It was like a he got a virus and
lung cancer.
It was lung cancer. We both said it. And then
I thought it was something different.
Well, it wasn't lung cancer. What could it have been? Okay,
we focus on the positive here at the Disney Click, Terry.
He died of happiness, joy. I don't know.
Okay. How many Academy Awards did Walt Disney win during his lifetime, not including honorary Academy Awards?
He didn't win any. Okay, he won one or two.
I thought he won.
Did he win
Mary,
a lot?
Mary Poppins. He won something for Mary Poppins.
He got an honorary for Snow White.
But it's not honorary, just...
But did he also win one?
I'd say
three.
One.
I'd say three.
22.
Wait. For what, though? For what...
So is that what, like, the Disney company?
Producer.
Everything that he ever won, in total, he won 22 Academy Awards and 4 honorary Academy Awards.
Mm. Okay.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, we're way off there.
Yeah.
I feel shame that I...
I thought it was a trick question.
Yeah, I did too.
So I was confused. But that's legitimate. That's good.
We don't have a good excuse.
But go Walt. Well done.
Isn't that amazing? I think he's like the most award-winning person ever in the history of the Academy Awards with 22.
Yeah.
I know the fashion designer is up there.
Fashion
and
designer.
There's a composer.
Costume design.
Yes. And a composer that's won a lot. There's a composer that's like killed it.
John Williams.
John Williams has a lot.
I love John.
Yeah, we're big John Williams fans.
He's my favorite.
He's great.
Okay, so what was the last animated film Walt Disney personally supervised?
Oh.
Okay, I feel like I just saw... Oh, gosh. Was there a princess involved?
No.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. It's relevant to next year.
Jungle Book.
Okay.
Yes.
That hint gave away because I knew that.
And who's directing the live-action version?
Jon Favreau.
Oh, you're so good.
Oh.
For in the now, I'm a little better.
Who also directed Iron Man? Woo!
And Iron Man 2.
Yes. And he's best friends with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I like him as a director. I like
no
him.
Randomness
I like,
about
I like
John
him as a director.
Okay,
a director.
Here's another jungle-related question. At Disneyland, what is the Jungle Cruise called during the holiday season?
The Jingle Cruise.
Yeah,
was good. You knew that
We talked
one.
About that on our holiday episode.
Yeah, we did.
Have you done it as the Jingle Cruise?
I had not yet. Yeah, not this year. A couple years ago. But
yeah. How long did it take to build Disneyland?
Oh.
From groundbreaking to completion?
Sure.
I don't know.
Get specific on me. I'm not sure.
I'm saying
in general.
I'm saying three years.
I don't think it was that long. I think it was actually pretty fast. Like 15 months or something.
You're closer, Briars. It only took 1 year to build Disneyland.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember,
wow,
always
it actually
it was very fast.
Yeah, it actually took longer to build it's leaving my mind now.
California Adventure?
No, it took longer to build one ride.
Splash Mountain?
No, one of those. Yeah,
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain?
No, the other one.
Thunder Mountain.
Thunder Mountain.
We're running out of mountains
eventually.
Here. Matterhorn Mountain?
I think I should have had caffeine today. What was the cost of a one-day ticket to the Magic Kingdom when it opened in 1971?
It was equivalent of about like $25 today.
No. Magic Kingdom.
In 1971.
Oh,
what was the cost of a one-day ticket?
$29.
What do you think?
I don't even think it's that much. I'll say $14.
$3.50.
Really? Oh, well, they had the e-tickets.
Right.
Right. They had you paid various
crazy.
Amounts.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm sorry. I have to go get in my time machine because I'm in the wrong decade.
You'd pay anywhere from like 50 cents to $5 per ride, depending on what the ride was. So like,
so you had to pay for,
well, like
for
a carousel Space would be Mountain. Would be an A ticket would be 50 cents, and
right.
then the bigger ride, I don't know what example bigger ride would
until
open,
it's up to E.
Would be an E ticket.
Yeah,
the more thrilling rides. Yep. So.
Wow. Whew.
So how much is the most expensive pass today? Which is the Premier Pass, which allows you to go to both Disneyland or the Disneyland parks in Anaheim and the Magic Kingdom parks in Walt Disney
World.
I would guess the Premier Pass.
$1,200.
Yeah, Florida and California.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah,
I think it's up there. I think it's
because
yeah.
I know that the top annual pass
are
is
now like about
$800.
I think it's gone up even
just
more.
Just the Disneyland one.
I thought it was even more now, though.
I think it's eight.
Yeah,
or
I'm saying I think it's about $1,200.
So I'm gonna say $1,200.
Yeah. So you guys are close. It's $1,439.
That's a good
per
that's,
person. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
But think of what think of the benefits.
That's for Florida, and
you can go in all the parks on any day,
and you fly for free between the parks too. That's
yes,
included.
Yes, you're given a
on
jet.
Disney Airlines.
You're given your own jet.
I'm making this up. It just sounds really good.
We had different exaggerate. I was just giving you a plane.
No, right?
Because mine made sense. So your own jet, no way. But $1,400. Yeah.
Where was John Lasseter born?
Briars.
This is on me. What is his life? Gosh, where was he?
You're the John. Not to put the pressure on you, but you are the John Lasseter
in California
person here.
Yes.
I feel like it's
near Orange County.
I feel like it's San Francisco area.
Like Pasadena,
you're sitting in the heart of it.
Hollywood.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
I wouldn't know that.
That's California.
I don't stalk out people's lives and where
parks.
They live. You know, I'm not that crazy.
Oh, because my next question for you, Rick, specifically, yeah. Where was Thurl Ravenscroft born?
Oh,
that's your best friend, Rick. Thurl. Thurl's a man, a jack
Los
of
Angeles.
All trades.
Nebraska.
Of course. Oh,
duh.
Okay.
Everyone knows that.
Thurl Ravenscroft, the many voices around Disneyland. And
He's a gem.
He's everywhere.
Thurl.
How many sisters does Ariel of The Little Mermaid have?
And seven.
Da-da-da.
What do their names have in common?
Is seven or eight?
How many sisters does Ariel have?
Is it more than that?
No, it might be six, because six plus Ariel, seven total.
Yes. Sorry, I was just counting her entire family.
And what do they
My
have
bad.
In common?
What do their names have in common?
They're all in a song that they get introduced.
Well, that's true.
They all live under the sea. They all have King Triton as a father.
They're all.
I'm three for three so far.
Those are not the answers.
They're
I'm
all like
for.
Okay,
like fauna or something. It's all like a type of plant or. Gosh, what is it? When you say it.
While I like mermaids, I can't say I know too much about the sisters.
They all start with the letter A.
Oh.
It's Aquata, Adrina, Arista, Atina, Adela, and Alana, and Ariel.
They picked the right one to make it about. Adina's movie, or one of the others, like some of those names. Aquana's here.
And Sebastian saying Adina. Ariel sounds a lot better than Adina.
Today.
Right.
In Beauty and the Beast. Okay, this is a good one. This is for you.
Well, let's
In Beauty and the Beast, Gaston is how big?
Oh, that's your guy. You got this.
Oh, well, she said it was your favorite.
Like, how tall
is he? Roughly as big as a barge.
How tall
is
he?
You got
I was going to say 6'7".
Yeah, that could have gone either way.
He's tall.
I am married to you. I kind of know where you're going with that. I had an advantage there, but all right.
Wasn't that your number one animated?
That's song.
Oh, song.
And my favorite film. Animated film, Disney film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does Captain Hook get killed at the end of Peter Pan?
He has to walk off the plank and the alligator eats him?
That seems to be, the obvious answer is TikTok Croc, but that's not how he gets killed.
I haven't seen these movies in so long.
Yeah, that's one that I can't remember. I'm not going to pretend.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hook, the Steven Spielberg one.
Too. No. This is
off.
Peter Pan.
Right.
The
right,
animated
right.
movie. How does he get killed at the end?
Do the Indians?
Nope.
No?
I have stumped you.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. It's a trick question.
He doesn't die.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's.
That's
I mean, I'd like to claim that, oh, you silly Terry, but, you know, I probably couldn't have answered that anyway, so.
I formed a false. I had his death ready.
So who was the first Disney feature character to speak directly to the audience?
Oh, is it in Mary Poppins?
Oh.
Before that.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jiminy Cricket.
There you go.
Wow, wow. Rick, that was good. Star. You had that.
That was good.
Okay. At Magic Kingdom, what are the hands of the clock on the Haunted Mansion ride?
What are the hands in Magic Kingdom?
Mm-hmm. I think they're the same at Disneyland,
actually.
Yeah,
are they
are they
skeleton hands? Or are they devil's tails? I have a vision in my head. What are the hands on the grandfather clock, you're
saying? Something with Mickey's tail? Or
mm-mm.
No, it's definitely not. It's, I remember being like, it's like, looks like pitchforks or devil's tail. What are they? No, I should know this. Yeah,
this is you.
Bony fingers.
Okay.
Fingers. All right.
I was going to say hands, but yeah, I don't know.
It's just the fingers.
Okay. Should have gotten that.
Okay. What is the abominable snowman of the Matterhorn named?
What is the abominable snowman?
Is it public knowledge?
Yes.
Abby?
That's a good guess, but no.
The abominable snowman in the Matterhorn, right? In the Matterhorn, you said?
In the Matterhorn. Yeah. Matterhorn. Yeah. Yep, the Matterhorn.
I would have guessed Abby, but not Abby.
I have. No idea. Whitey?
Furry?
White.
No.
Scary? Growly?
Bot? His name's Harold.
Harold. I should have known that. Harold. Okay. I should have known a lot of these things. We're not doing so well here.
I'm so surprised.
I'm doing terribly.
I only have two more questions. All right. You ready? Let's see if
we
can redeem
ourselves.
These are hard ones. Let's see if you can get these. In the Magic Kingdom, in Liberty Square, there is a 100-year-old tree. It's an old southern live oak tree that holds 13 lanterns. What do the 13 lanterns represent?
In Walt Disney World.
In Walt Disney World.
Did something happen in 1913 with Walt?
Nope.
13 original colonies?
Yes! Yeah. Oh. Yes, it's the 13 original colonies.
Okay. Shout 'em, scout 'em, tell all about 'em. Do you
what?
Remember the song?
No.
Sing it. Scott, I can't sing now, American Idol. You're out. You don't get the golden ticket.
And fun fact, in Liberty Square, there are no bathrooms in keeping with the time period.
That's cool.
They just have there's a hole in the ground that you kind of squat.
They're like, go out by the tree. That's why they have that big old tree there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try that next time we're there, see what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Right.
Okay, this is the last question. We'll see if between the two of you can get it. Disneyland has only been closed 3 unscheduled times since it opened. What were the 3 times?
One of them was Walt's death, I believe.
Nope.
No. Okay.
They were for... Okay, one was September 11th.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
One was a natural disaster of some kind.
Yes. Do you know which one?
The Northridge earthquake.
And do you remember when that was?
1995 or 94?
94.
94, okay.
Yeah. The other one. I remember because I've read this before.
It is the death of someone, but it wasn't Walt Disney.
Not his wife.
No.
The death of a...
Not Roy.
Oh, of a president?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
The National Day of Mourning for President John F. Kennedy.
I'm surprised they didn't close on the day he passed away. That's surprising to me.
Well, why would they close? It was his favorite thing ever.
I guess
so. Why would they close?
And it had just...
You go to Disney to honor him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't close it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean... You go to Disney to honor, it's about America, you go to honor Kennedy, too. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, but it was the assassination of...
Right. No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
His was a more chill death compared to Kennedy.
I guess so. I mean, they're all bad, but one is natural.
Yeah, but he
wasn't
literally, like,
if you
murdered.
Believe he's cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, right. All right. Conspiracy.
Oh, that's good.
Terry, thank you so much for making us look
totally stupid.
Yeah, woo. We appreciate it.
I got to go buy a biography on Walt and read it and highlight.
I feel like we should have done better. I feel like we should have done better, but it's okay. So
I feel like I should have studied more.
Yeah, well, such is life. Anyway, guys, that's
our episode.
It for today, and we had fun.
Yeah.
No matter how it
learned
sounds.
Learned a lot.
That's right.
I feel like
that's
I learned.
Right. And thank you.
Class.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, guys.
I'll see you at home.
Yeah, I'll see you in 5 minutes.
And Briars, I won't see you at home. I'll see you next time.
No, you won't see me.
Okay. All right.
I come to your house.
Yeah. It's late. All right, guys. Have a magical week. We will see you next time.
Take care.
The Disney Click is a Meltdown Presents production, produced by Terry Lubaroff and Mason Booker. Audio engineer, the miracle worker, Mason Booker, with your hosts, Rick Lubaroff and Briars Newman. Our theme song, King of the Swingers, is performed by the Swing Ninjas and provided by freemusicarchive.org. Jazzy Frenchie is our break music and can be found on binsound.com. End credit music, Dill Pickles, is performed by the Heftone Banjo Orchestra and provided by freemusicarchive.org. Don't forget to tweet us at the Disney Click. You can also follow us on Instagram at the Disney Click. Use the hashtag Top 5 Disney Click to share your own Top 5.